Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Katie Simpson Smith's new novel is The Story of Land and Sea. She will be at the Odyssey Bookstore tonight at 7 o'clock for a reading and signing. You can find out more information about that event by going to odysseybks.com. Again, the title of the new novel is The Story of Land and Sea, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Katie Simpson Smith to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. So this will be a homecoming for you back to Mount Holyoke.
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to being back in the area again. I have such good memories.
What brought you to this novel, The Story of Land and Sea, really the story of the loss of family?
Yes. I came to the story through my background in history, which started when I was a student at Mount Holyoke and continued in a PhD program that I did at UNC Chapel Hill. And I really just fell in love with this time period of the late 18th century, which is such a rich era for looking at people's lives when they were particularly complicated. The nation was still trying to figure out who it was going to be, and I think these characters are in a similar bind. And the germ of the novel actually came from a trip that I took when I was in graduate school to the coast of North Carolina, where the book is set, to an 18th century graveyard there that is remarkably beautiful and eccentric. There is a grave there for a little girl buried in a rum keg that has no other information attached. We don't know her name or the date of her death. So there's this story just waiting to be told. And I had that girl's life in the back of my head for several years before I began to try to start to write it.
This takes place in the small North Carolina coastal settlement of Beaufort, and the time period surrounds the American Revolution. How much does the Revolution play into what you wanted to write about?
I was more interested in the sort of outer ripples of the Revolution. So this is a town that doesn't see a lot of action until the very end of the war. So what's more important for these characters is how economic centers are shifting and how people are moving to other towns as a result of new commerce and new political centers. So the Revolution really only appears immediately in the last years of the war when the British soldiers take over the town's harbor. And even then, it's sort of a haphazard affair, and the townspeople struggle to figure out exactly how to deal with this new threat.
The book ultimately follows three generations of men and women. Was it apparent at the very beginning of the writing of the novel that you wanted to follow this family through that many generations?
I initially started just with the character of the little girl and thought it would be a fairly focused story on just her and her parents. But one of the things about early America is that there's no such thing as a nuclear family, that you're always engaged in a much broader kin network, not only with people who are related to you, but people who live within a few miles of you, who are constantly poking their nose into your business. So this novel quickly became populated with her grandparents and with the enslaved population that she knew, and neighbors as well.
In reading this, I got a sense that you enjoy writing about that uncertainty of time.
Yes. I think all fiction writers are really looking for mystery in their characters' lives. We don't want to be following predictable people. And I think the Revolution just provides this wonderful opportunity to see people struggling to figure out how to live their lives best. And that's something that we do today. So I wanted to show these parallels between issues that I had been struggling with and that people I knew had been struggling with, and take those same issues and put them in the context of the past.
So there are fascinating pairings in this book, a series of pairings, really, a father and daughter, a master of slave. There are interesting pairings that look at the possibilities that can exist at this time of great uncertainty following a revolutionary war.
Yes. And the relationship between slave owners and the enslaved is one that's particularly compelling for me. We have this sense of slavery being a kind of monolithic institution that followed certain lines. But in fact, if we look at it earlier in American history, before sort of the antebellum stereotype, we get a much more complex and fluid relationship between these different people caught up in a very horrific system. So we have the character of Moll, who was given as a birthday gift to a young white woman, and as a result of being in this fairly isolated plantation with very few other young people, she becomes friends with this woman, but that friendship is never, you know, never the friendship that we might desire today. It's always colored by slavery and by the fact that her life is controlled by the people who claim to own her. So her character was a particularly interesting one to me to figure out how she would have survived in this landscape, given how few choices she had.
In looking at the story and taking that slaves of writing about the slaves and what they were going through, you write about characters who are going through childbirth. And it's fascinating because this is a perspective that we really don't know much about in history.
Right. It's important to me to show the kind of lost voices of history. For my dissertation, I worked on motherhood in the American South and compared how white, black, and Native American mothers raised their children differently in the same time period. And one of the things I learned from that was that it's very easy to tell a story about men, and it's very easy to tell a story about the elite who leave behind so many records and letters and diaries. And once you start digging into women's lives who were not white, who were not privileged, you sort of lose the thread of evidence. And I tried my best writing history to sort of pick up that thread. But what I realized is that the best opportunity to reveal these people's lives is really through fiction. Because we can imagine our way into their circumstances, even when the historical record gives us very little to go on.
When it comes to that historical record, so when you investigate the subject, what do you use as your source material?
So for the dissertation, I did a lot of archival research. So traveled around the South and looked at collections of letters and collections of family papers and plantation records. And a lot of that research served as the foundation for the novel. So getting a sense of the kind of language that people used, the sense of their morals and their values, really helped me situate the characters in a world that is fairly different from the one we live in today. And then I had sort of additional research tasks to do once I started writing the book, as I put characters into situations that I wasn't totally sure about. So I have a character who is a pirate, and I had to learn a lot about sailing ships and how sailing ships operated.
And actually the story of Land and Sea is the title of the novel, so obviously the sea plays a role here, but it's fascinating in your writing about what it is like to be in this coastal place.
Yeah, it's a very unique place. Because, especially in early America, because it was difficult to access. There weren't easy harbors for boats to come in. So the people in this town are fairly isolated, and they make their living off of this sort of interstitial space between the land and the sea. So we have the grandfather character who runs a turpentine plantation, who is harvesting longleaf pine for their sap, and that sap is then turned into a product that is used for shipbuilding. So even though he works on the land, the final product is really meant for the ocean. And in turn, there are fishermen and there are oystermen and pirates. So all of them sort of live in this medium middle space between these two very complex landscapes.
Well, it's a fascinating novel. It's a story of land and sea. It is published by Harper. Katie Simpson-Smith will be at Odyssey Books tonight at 7 o'clock for a reading and signing. You can find out more information by going to odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. Katie, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck, and it'll be nice to have you back in town.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Story of Land and Sea. It is published by Harper. You can find out more information about the Odyssey event by going to odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.